I think it truly boils down to the fact that I didn't just want to succumb to what happened to me, and I wanted to be able to be a force for good.
It is so great to have Jenny Fisher joining the program, a fellow Marquette alum. Her and I have worked together in various capacities as she was kind of figuring out what she wanted to do in sports. And she has interned with the NCAA, Marquette Athletics, the Big East Conference, Fox Sports, and the Milwaukee Brewers, just to name a few. Jenny, what are you doing now? And when did you know you wanted to have a career in sports?
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me, Jen. Really appreciate it. And again, fellow Marquette alum. So I love that you added that part in. But I think I first noticed or realized that I wanted to be in sports when I saw Aaron Andrews doing a Packers game when I was like 13 years old. I was watching TV and it kind of occurred to me that that could actually be a career. And I was like, I would love to see the basketball version of that. And then found out who Doris Burke was and like kept digging into it. Right. And so I was like, this is something I could see myself doing, because my whole world growing up has always revolved around basketball. My family connections, my parents both played at Marquette. My brother won a national championship in college. I grew up playing. And so the basketball and then the storytelling, of course. And so I get to do that in my current role. I work at the NBA. I work more so with the WNBA and the G League and run all their digital and social platforms. It's a lot of work. Went down to the G League bubble, spent the whole season there. And now obviously we're gearing up for all the excitement of the W season and had some great ratings and just a lot of exciting things happening there. But I feel really grateful every day that I get to do what I do. And again, the fact that it's in basketball just makes it all the more perfect for who I am and what I care about.
That's awesome. So the three of us are all women in sports, and Jen and I have had lots of conversations about, you know, whether it is challenges that we face or just the day-to-day difference of being a woman in sports. What have you seen? What have you incurred?
I remember when I had my internship with the Brewers, when I was a freshman at Marquette, I was the only woman in the office. And that was the first time it occurred to me that this was how it, I don't want to say worked, but how I perceived it. And especially in baseball, I think that was the dominant storyline, I suppose. And so I first realized it then, and then I was like, it didn't occur to me that it was an issue or a problem until I kept going and realized that there were less and less women in the rooms that I were in. And it made me all the more grateful, and then also made me want to push forward with it. One of my best friends, her name's Kara Kay. She runs the digital and social for Michigan State men's basketball. We have conversations all the time that we hate that it's a thing. We love that it's a thing in some ways, right? That you get to be able to fight for it and be a part of something that you want to help change the narrative a bit more. But at the same time, I really take pride in the fact that, like, look, we just have to keep pushing forward. It will be what it will be in some ways. But at the same time, being a woman in sports is something to be proud of, and make sure that you lend the hand back to help other women in sports get to the same places or even beyond.
Penny, you describe yourself as a fighter. I feel like that mindset benefits women in sports, that you can't always be warm and cuddly. Certainly in some areas you can. Have you experienced situations where you have felt you needed to come off a certain way or carry yourself a certain way in order to be taken seriously in the male-dominated space?
I think the drive portion is a huge part of who I am. And I feel like if you're not just like that naturally driven, like if you have free time, you want to do something that will better you or your career or those around you. I feel like that's something some people just have. And I feel like that's something I have. And a lot of women, especially that I've encountered in this space, have. I think for me, I grew up a complete tomboy, right? And I think a lot of women in sports can really resonate with that. I think my tomboy had to come out at times, or like how I was with my older brother growing up and being able to just be like, I don't want to say like one of the bros, but I maybe couldn't talk about like, oh, what should I be wearing a dress and heels to the game, the Marquette game, when I have to run up and down the flights of stairs to run the box scores to the announcers? Little things like that, that again, sound kind of funny to say out loud, unless you have other women to bounce it off of and feel normal in that space.
But yeah, who validate it, who go, yeah, that's not absurd at all.
Exactly. And being able to, and I mean, I'm 24 years old, so I'm not yet a mother, but one day if I want to be, and that, those are the things that you have to think about, right? And how you can balance all of the things, which Jen, I know for a fact that you do a great job of, but it's like having to learn how to compartmentalize in some ways, adapt in others, and find a happy middle ground where you are still being authentically yourself.
Oh, I was listening to somebody speak just a few days ago, and she said, people think women have to be warm to be nice. And it just, boom, hit me. I was like, holy cow. I've been trying to figure out how to articulate that my entire career, because working in sports, if you're warm, it can be misinterpreted and people can think that your intentions are not what they actually are, which is to continue climbing the ladder, to continue bettering yourself, to continue doing your job at an elite level. And I thought to myself, man, that is so like valuable. And I want more women in the sports space to hear that you don't have to be warm to be a nice person. And I think that a lot of us in sports find ourselves walking this fine line of, well, I don't want them to call me a bitch. Like, so I better be, you know, nice in order to be well received.
And it's also, someone told me this once, and I think it's so true. Everyone can be nice. Like, that's not the best quality that we should be aiming for. We should be aiming to be genuine, authentic, good people. Like, everyone is nice. Everyone is cool. Like, those are the very surface level. If you can get down actually into the meat of it, there are so much better things that you can be and to be concerned about.
I love that you said about the authentic part of it. I think so much of what both of you do is that storytelling aspect of it. And in order to truly be able to share that story, that authenticity has to be there.
Absolutely.
I think for you and actually, you know, the three of us sitting here, part of that authenticity is who you are and what you've been through. Can you share a little bit with us about what you've been through and how it relates to mental health?
Yeah. So I'm very open about my story, but I probably wasn't this open until I was in college at Marquette. When I was a sophomore, I was approached about, it was a professor who had known that this tragedy had happened to me and my family. And so when I was 13 years old, I lost my mom to suicide. I was the one to find her. I was in the eighth grade and I came home from school and my life changed forever. And it was absolutely world crushing in every way. But I feel like as I've gotten older, the more and more that life has gone on, I've realized that like you can't always just let things happen to you. You have to be a force for good in the fight for good. I just think all the time of, I never want anyone else to suffer that kind of a tragedy. And I know with how prevalent and pertinent suicide is in today's society that, I mean, it has arguably happened to more people than I can even imagine. I think the statistical ratio is that you are within one relationship of knowing someone who has died by suicide. And so if you don't know someone, your friend knows someone, right? And so for me, I should say that when I was also at Marquette, I think I was a junior or senior, I came across this quote that Desi Linden, she's a runner. And again, I'm not in the running sphere, right? Like I was the post player in basketball who like dreaded having to get on the line and run sprints, but I can really appreciate Desi Linden for what she does, but especially this quote. She had a tweet that said, some days it'll feel like you're born to do this. Other days it'll feel like you're trudging through hell. No matter what, keep showing up, seeing what you've got and giving it your best shot. And when it came across my Twitter feed, I was like, this is how I'm going to live. Like, I'm going to keep showing up. Like, it resonated to the bone with me. And so I carried that with me. I had made a t-shirt for a friend and I, and then more and more people kept asking me, like, what does keep showing up mean? And eventually when I moved here to New York last summer, it was coming up on Suicide Prevention Awareness Month in September. And normally I did an out of the darkness walk in Milwaukee. And because of COVID, they weren't happening, at least not in the same ways. I wanted to figure out a way to not just ask people for money, but to also like do good on the other half of it, right? Because there's a community aspect to bringing awareness and truly buying into a cause. And so I created these shirts that say keep showing up. It's now expanded to long sleeves and hoodies and the whole merch game. But it began with a t-shirt And I made it as simple and as cheap as possible because my whole goal was 100% of the proceeds need to go to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. In the first like week, I thought I would sell like 50 shirts and I sold like 300 and they were all shipped to my tiny New York apartment. And then I shipped them out from there and wrote all the thank you cards. So it was a little overwhelming, but completely worthwhile. And now it's expanded to the point where I'm nearing $40,000 raised. Kevin Love has a shirt. Juju Smith-Schuster has a shirt and he donated a large chunk of change. It's just gone completely beyond my expectations. Seeing them in like walk-in photos, like Grant Williams from the Celtics. And it's just overwhelming at this point, because again, it was just a small thing where my goal was to do a little bit of good. And now it's grown into this. So I know you asked about what had happened to me and why I care about it, but I think it truly boils down to the fact that I didn't just want to succumb to what happened to me. And I wanted to be able to be a force for good. And I think that mental health and suicide prevention is something that's being talked about more and more, right? Like Kevin Love, when he came out with his Players Tribune piece a couple years ago, I think 3 years ago now, it was something that opened my eyes to say, like, who am I to just sit back and let this happen and not do something on the other side?
I think authenticity is something that Shelley mentioned, that you obviously just exude, you know, it's just pouring out of every pore of your body. And it's so valuable in this day and age. We are trying to normalize the conversations around suicide, tough topics, things that make people uncomfortable, but also will then hopefully have people feeling more comfortable about talking about their own issues, especially in the mental health space. I have talked to Shelley personally about how sometimes existing in this space can be traumatic in and of itself. So part of your identity, Jenny, has now been being a spokesperson for not just suicide awareness, but suicide prevention. How do you then take care of yourself so that it doesn't drown you, you know, talking to people about suicide or having other people come and talk to you about their experiences? How do you take care of yourself?
It's a really good question, because part of this entire process being a one woman show, right, of running this, what some people have called a nonprofit now and all of it, and the fact that it's just grown so exponentially, is I get flooded with DMs and emails, and it's been honestly really overwhelming, because I spend my entire day on social media for my job. And the last thing I want to do at the end of the day is check my DMs. I want to turn off my phone and use my free time to myself. And it's nothing against other people, but it's remembering that I've opened the door to a community of people that want to be heard and want to have conversations. And I definitely want to have those too. And I, of course, support that. Like, again, it's the authenticity factor. Like, the bottom line is that I care about this. So it's trying to find the balance of, okay, Jenny, you just need to sit back, journal, do your crossword, drink your coffee, like do your normal thing that makes sure that your foundation of your own mentals are like in a good place. But at the same time, finding the time, like what I've been doing now, it's all about balance, right? Finding time where I put an hour on my calendar, like once or twice a week. And I'm like, I'm going to go through every single DM, every single email, and I want to get back to people. And again, I know it sounds so funny, but it can be anxious and exhausting just trying to feel like you're being everything for everyone. And so in that way, I've been trying to figure out how to take care of myself and still make people feel seen, heard, have those conversations with them, and be the advocate that I'm truly trying to be.
It's that balance, you know, we're all trying to find that balance, and we're all trying to, each of us cope in our own separate ways. We started, you know, our team, when we asked at the beginning of the year, you know, what was one cause that we haven't had the opportunity to work with an athlete was, and it was mental health that came to the forefront for our team. And, you know, we went forward and created the End Stigma Change Lives, and find very similar that we're in the same space as wanting to allow people to be heard, wanting to hear their stories, but still have that establishment of some boundaries that that we need to establish. So I commend you for what you're doing. Continue to do that, but continue to take care of yourself too, because if you're not taking care of yourself, you're not going to be able to ultimately help others.
Right. It's that old, you can't pour from an empty cup, right? You hear about that so often, you know, in the motherhood space of when you are everything for everyone. Well, if you have nothing left to give, you're giving nothing. Right. And so making sure that you are first and foremost taking care of yourself. What would you tell someone who is on the other side of this, who has a loved one who has died by suicide?
My biggest thing, I talked about this actually, I went on TMJ4 in Milwaukee after we had written this and done the giant student media project at Marquette about suicide prevention. And someone had given me a birthday card. My birthday is 2 months to the date after the anniversary of my mom's death. So she died on December 2nd. I'm born on February 2nd. And someone had given me a birthday card just right after she had died. And it said, "Don't ask for a lighter load, but a stronger back." And I know we're talking a lot about strength and drive and all of that, but I felt like that was exactly what I needed to hear, because especially in the beginning, I was like, why is this happening to me, to my family? My mom was such an incredible person. And this is something else I really struggle with, the suicide thing. The fact that my mom died by suicide, and so advocating for prevention obviously is something I care about. But at the same time, my mom is not how she died. She is not her death. She is not suicide. And so it's riding the parallel tracks, right? And still being able to separate, but also conjoin and fight the good fight, like I've mentioned. And so I think what someone else in those similar shoes that I was in about 10 years ago now, just don't ask for a lighter load, but a stronger back. And I wish someone would have told 13-year-old Jenny, like, take it a day at a time, but like actually take it a day at a time. Like that could mean minutes, hours, seconds, baby steps. Because I kept thinking like, oh, I'm in eighth grade. She's not even going to see me get to high school. Like she's not going to see like whatever. And then I'm going to have to do this and this without a mom. And like, what about my wedding day? And you can go down the rabbit hole if you think way too far ahead. And especially in COVID times, I think we've really learned to take things in small doses. And so to be able to just truly, you know, don't ask for a lighter load, but a stronger back, and to keep showing up in the small ways that you can.
I love that. Tying it back to sports and tying it back to what you do on a day-to-day basis. I know you mentioned, you know, the Kevin Love story when it came out, and it really resonated with it. We're seeing more and more athletes comfortable and talking about it and sharing their own stories. And so often athletes are put on this huge pedestal that they have the perfect life, the perfect world. And, you know, they have it all, so they shouldn't struggle. But the fact of the matter is they're human. And they're now being willing to share their story. What from the WNBA and NBA are you seeing as far as athletes' comfort level, the discussions happening, not only from a league level, but from a team level?
Well, the first story that comes to my mind is G League Media Day. So we're in the bubble and it's the car wash, right? And I have my own station, the video guys, photos, and then I'm running the social station by myself and the players just come through. I'm doing Polaroids with them, some fun social stuff, and then a couple like quick interview questions so that I have sound bites about their basketball journey. And then I asked, his name's Justin Patton. He played at Creighton. I knew he played at Creighton from the Big East circle. He's probably 2 or 3 years out of college and he was with the Westchester Knicks, and he sat down and he said, "How are you?" And again, it's kind of like, oh, I'm good. How are you? And you realize that, again, you break that barrier immediately, right? And kind of breaks the car wash cycle for a minute as well. And so off camera, he starts talking to me about mental health. And he's like, I'm kind of scared for it in this bubble. And he goes, my mom really struggled with her mental health. And it just makes me want to be even more on top of it. I have a daughter and I want to make sure that she has these conversations young. And I'm just like blown away that he knows nothing about me or my story. And he's willingly opening up to a person he doesn't know about this. And that was one of the moments where I was like, we are in a space in 2021 where people feel comfortable enough to just have an open and honest conversation. And I think, again, we are in a time period of this, like we're nearing the post-pandemic world, but we're still in it, right? And so we're in this place where people want to talk about it because we've been so isolated. We have gone through a lot and it's time. And again, people say it's okay not to be okay, but it's okay to also be able to talk about it and have forward-leaning conversations where we say, okay, now what can we do? And I think in the WNBA as well, Liz Cambage, she also had a great, it was a Players Tribune piece again, where she talked about did not play mental health and to be able to just sit out and take a break. And I think it's something that people in our industry as well, like sometimes you need a mental health day. Like I think it should literally be considered a sick day because you should be able to have time to just relax, breathe. I had about a week off after the bubble, after working like 18 hour days for a month and a half. And I was like, I still feel a little bit of that burnout. Like, I don't know what it is, but I haven't been the same since. I haven't had the same, like, okay, Jenny, we're going to wake up at 6 a.m. again. We're going to do this. We're going to like get through the day, work until 2 a.m. And so figuring out how to get back to that, also important. But what I do really commend is that the NBA is it, really, I believe it's the best league in the world. Like I will shout it from the mountaintops and I'm not just saying it because I work for them, but they put action behind what they do. They truly like push forward, encourage and support in really authentic ways. And so to be able to do that and the athletes that have come forward, it's just really something that I commend. And again, it helps people to want to open up that maybe are not star athletes or maybe they are, but just to be able to have the conversations and let people know that this is normal and to be able to, again, find ways to move forward.
I want to tell you a little bit about today's episode sponsor, Robert Hack Diamonds. For more than 72 years, Robert Hack Diamonds has been Wisconsin's most trusted and respected name, known for diamond engagement rings, wedding rings, and custom jewelry. With a commitment to customer service, Robert Hack Diamonds applies the highest level of professionalism and expertise while guiding you in your search for an expertly crafted, stunningly beautiful diamond. For store locations or to shop online, visit roberthackdiamonds.com.
So I think I've been told that I can sometimes have diarrhea of the mouth, right? That I can word vomit.
The best transition of all time.
And I take pride in that because I will talk about things that I know are making people uncomfortable, whether that's when I was breastfeeding my girls and I was at work events and I disappear for 30 minutes and people be like, oh, where'd you go? Oh, I was breastfeeding. And then let's just sit there for a moment, guys, in the awkward silence as you sip your drink and try to figure out why she just said breastfeeding in front of a group of men. Oh, it's because why is that so frowned upon? I feel similarly in the mental health space. I think that one of the best things we can do is continue talking about it and continue amplifying the voices of people who are talking about it, which is something that you're doing, which is why it's so important to get your message out there. What more can we do beyond being the word vomiter, the diarrhea of the mouth person that is saying the things that no one wants to be said out loud? What can we do to advance this cause?
I take pride in being someone who talks a lot as well. And I think the biggest thing that I've learned the past few years, you don't learn anything from talking, you learn from listening. And so I feel like the more I just hear people out, and again, we've mentioned it earlier, but hearing people out, sharing and supporting, I think go a very, very long way. Again, I've shared my story, it feels like 50 times over the past 10 years in various ways, talking to people about it. But it's not for the fact that, oh, I'm just dying to tell it over and over again. It's for the fact that I don't want this to happen to anyone else. And I want people to know that this happens to people who are successful to a certain degree and are normal people, and that this is a common thing. But at the same time, again, the parallel track, it does not have to be a common thing. It is something that is 100% preventable. I believe it to be 100% preventable. And I just think that the more we remember the community aspect of it, it's not a one woman, a one man, a one any person fight, that it's a group effort. And it takes active work, not just words, which again, I'm someone who's a wordy and I love quotes and I love writing. But at the same time, it's being able to say, okay, now where's the action behind it? And we learned a lot about this in the social justice things that were happening even last summer and up to this day. you have to find a way to put action behind it and to truly, and again, people say, what more can I do? I would say, reach out to people, listen, support unequivocally, and find ways to just move forward. I don't know the surefire answer, right? Of saying, if you do this, then we will be 100% in the suicide prevention and awareness space. But I do know that we are doing good in this fight, and that there are so many different small ways, again, incremental, to keep moving forward and to keep showing up.
And even normalizing medication, I think that's the next, you know, phase of, okay, great, we're talking about mental health, but we still get a little bit nervous talking about people who have to, you know, get some type of pharmaceutical or be medicating themselves in order to navigate their mental health journeys. But again, normalizing people who are having mental health challenges and then being treated for them, because that's a step in the right direction as well. Where can people get your shirts, support your cause, if that's something they're interested in?
Yeah. So it's linked all over my social media. It's probably the easiest way because the URL is long, but they're on Custom Ink. It's in fundraising and then Keep Showing Up. And so again, t-shirts, $15, 100% of the proceeds from all of the stuff goes to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. There's t-shirts, there's long sleeves, there's hoodies. And then I actually added a second design that's in my handwriting. And so plenty to offer there. But I would say, yeah, the easiest way is through my socials. They're linked everywhere. And it's at Jenny Lynn Fish on all social media.
Now you live in New York. We're in Wisconsin. Might I pitch you a beanie? Like a white beanie with the red letters across the, right? Can we do that?
Well, and people were like, get us stickers. Like, we need shorts. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. The thing is, like, the more products, like, the more I need people to keep buying them, to keep showing up for me, because it can only print after a certain amount. So if you can promise me 15 beanies being sold, Jen, I can definitely make that happen.
I think we can. There we go.
I may know 15 people.
Right.
That would maybe wear a beanie, too.
Right.
Shocking that somebody like me, who word vomits and has diarrhea of the mouth, would have 15 friends. But
oh, I love it. I love it.
All right. We'll be looking forward to it. But you know what? Thank you for continuing to show up. I know it's hard. I know that it takes a toll on you to continue to do it. But I love the reason that you're doing it, with the purest intent to help others. So we will continue to keep showing up, and you do the same.
Thank you so much. Seriously, really appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.